better with these things on, or we don't need
Doesn't matter. I used to have them on all the time, and then I took them away because it just... Sometimes I think it helps people talk, because if they don't hear how loud it is here, then
if you start to turn away, like if I look at you, now my voice isn't quite as good.
That is the
nut. And so you can, but I mean, what I mean is you get a feel for
headphones. That's true. That's true. That's a good point.
It's like wearing monitors.
Yeah.
I mean, if you play instruments, you have in your monitors. It's the same way.
Okay. All right.
Which I do.
Then you know that.
Only one side works.
Maybe that's something you didn't know about me.
No, I did not know that about you. Yes. We're learning all kinds of stuff here today.
I know.
Just in the,
I might even be Canadian.
The program hasn't even started, and I'm learning things about you.
Maybe I'm.
So did you do the DNA test?
Maybe I'm secretly Canadian.
Should we start the program? Do you think, or
sure.
officially? Okay,
sure, let's roll.
I think it would. I think it was a good start to the program, even without it. Hello, everybody. I'm John Melke, and this, if you haven't guessed it by now, is Parkside Today. I'm joined by Zaid Altahad, Assistant Professor of Computer Science, and Tim Canal, Senior Lecturer in the Computer Science Department. In addition to their responsibilities as members of the faculty, Zaid and Tim direct the award-winning UW Parkside App Factory. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
So starting out, first question. How does a client, potential client, connect with the App Factory? If they've heard about it, they've seen somebody's talked to them about it, how does that person or that company organization connect with the App Factory?
Yeah, well, I mean, you sort of said it right off the bat, and that is that most people just sort of hear about us. We don't really actively market anything, and most of our connections are done word of mouth.
Okay.
I agree. It's been all word of mouth. People who have heard about the App Factory, some of the tours, you know, some of the companies, organizations that they tour the campus, and they visit the App Factory. So I'm talking to a client. We're talking to a client right now who was on a tour a couple of months ago, and they're talking to us now to build an app for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty regular. That happens quite often.
Right. So you have someone who's heard about the App Factory. They've gotten in touch with you. Do you ever find the case that after you talk to them for a little bit, that maybe what their challenge is and the solution that they need, maybe it isn't an app, or is it always an app?
You know, it does depend. It's not always an app, right? It's really not. In fact, we have had clients before where we've told them there's already an app for that. And, you know, sometimes that happens. And that's kind of the first phase that you go through is you look through what's already out there, because certainly we don't need to reinvent the wheel all the time. But yeah, that has happened before. And sometimes maybe they just need a website rather than a full-blown app. Mm-hmm. And other times they need a full-blown app. So I think it does depend. But, yeah, indeed, we have had that happen before.
Mm-hmm. And I think many of the times, most of the customers who come to us, they come with a solution. Like, I want this. Mm-hmm. And we take them one step back. Tell me what your problem is. What are you trying to solve?
Yeah.
Because it's not always the problems you have, they're not solved by an app. Not everything is solved by an app. So they sometimes assume, like, if I have an app, I have everything I need to grow my business or reach out to more clients. But it's not always like that.
Right. No, it's not. I agree.
And you're providing it's that second set of eyes, second or third or fourth set of eyes that looking at a particular challenge where someone who's really close to it maybe sees it as this is the solution I need, and someone else takes a look at the same challenge and says, but have you thought about it from this perspective?
And a lot of times the people that provide that extra perspective are the students. They're amazingly good at this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hate to admit it, but they're far more in touch with their phones and with that ecosystem.
Yeah.
Right. Than I am. I mean, you know, I'm an old guy, right? You know, I mean, let's face it. They're completely in touch with this, and they'll shake their head and say, no, that's not that doesn't make sense as an app.
Mm-hmm.
Or oh gosh, that's a perfect idea for an app. So the students, you know, but that's what we do. I mean, that's what we we involve the students in those kinds of things, and they're amazingly have an amazing perspective on all of this.
Yeah.
You know, I think one great thing about our, you know, setup and the App Factory and Parkside is that we're a nonprofit. We're not for profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when the client come to us, they value our opinion. We're not in the business to make profit.
Yeah.
So we give them a very honest opinion. So sometimes we tell them, you don't need an app, right? And many times, like, we ask them, we tell them, like, keep us as, you know, our consultant for you. Because ask us any questions, we'll be willing to tell you. If somebody else is doing something for you, we'll be more than happy to tell you if that's the right thing they're building for you,
mm-hmm.
or if it's what you need is something else.
Mm-hmm.
And they value this. They know it's an honest opinion. We're not a commercial company. It's not anytime you're going to ask a commercial company, I need an app, right away they're going to build it for you. They're not going to ask why.
Right. Right.
Here we're different. We tell them why you need an app. Tell us first why you need an app.
Or why you don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, right. From the, you mentioned you talked about how the students can bring an interesting or fresh perspective to maybe a solution or the challenge. How do your students come to be students in the App Factory? How do they go from Parkside student who's maybe, we'll say a computer science major, but for those who aren't familiar, the App Factory does bring in students from different disciplines.
Absolutely.
Because if it's a graphic design person or something else, how do they get involved with the App Factory?
It's a lot of it. The students talk to other students. Faculty, we try to always to look for good students. We try to keep the App Factory open to everybody to come and learn and work. As long as they have these two key attributes, like willing to learn, spend mm-hmm. the time
mm-hmm.
and the energy to learn, we welcome everybody to come and learn and work at the App Factory. But we have some students, for instance, their schedule doesn't allow. They want to learn, but they can't work. They can't log hours
because
mm-hmm. they have so many things going on with their classes, and sometimes they have a job off campus. With those cases, we cannot, you know, have students who show up to a project when they feel like they have time to work on a project.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. I mean, one side is that we're educational. We want the students to learn. And the other side, we have real clients who pay money for these apps to solve real problems for
right.
them.
Right.
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 So if we're not serious and committed enough to work on these projects, we wouldn't take them on, and we wouldn't put students on these projects if they're not serious.
Mm-hmm.
We're willing to teach you, but we're not going to tolerate you being there whenever you feel like you want to be there. You're not too serious about solving the client's problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another attribute that a lot of our students have is one of independence. While we do foster teaching, and we want to do that, at the same time, the students have to have enough independence to be able to say, oh, this is something I need to go out and learn myself. So there is some of that also involved
mm-hmm.
here too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we're looking for good students, and good doesn't always necessarily mean good GPAs.
Mm.
Sometimes it does,
mm-hmm.
But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the good students are those that are just independent enough to learn on their own.
Yeah,
and it also boils down to a student that is able to manage their schedules properly, right? Because we can't have, and I've said this, you've heard me say this before, we can't have students failing their classes because they're working
yeah.
in the App Factory,
yeah,
right? And so
right,
they have
right.
to be good at managing all of these things all at the same time, not just their school schedule, but their personal schedule, as well as their App Factory internship.
Mm-hmm.
True. We have some of the students, a few of the students at the App Factory who did exceptionally well. They had low GPA, I would say. Not a high GPA.
Mm-hmm.
But at the App Factory, they were among the top few at the App Factory. So I guess it's a learning style. So they feel like they're very effective, very productive in a work environment, as in the App Factory.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't feel that productive when they're in a classroom.
Mm. Okay.
Which is interesting, honestly.
Yeah.
I found out about one of the students later on that he didn't have the high GPA, but I was like, oh, my God. He is, like, one of the best students we had at the App Factory. Yeah. So it's I guess, the work environment. Like, they love solving problems. Like, and that's what we are, engineers. We just solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you just give them a problem, they you know, go work on it, come back the next day, have it figured out and sold.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you put them in an exam environment, they're not going to do so well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, the App Factory has been in existence 4 years, 5 years?
No, I think we're in our fifth now. I think we're in our fifth year. Fifth year. Pretty sure.
So it's long enough that each of you has had the opportunity to see students come into the App Factory as a brand new App Factory
yep.
employee. And
then, oh my gosh, they graduate.
And then they graduate.
Oh, what a bummer that is.
yeah. But it's
we might have to edit that out.
No, that's true. I mean, there's the App Factory as a model, a business model here on campus with built-in attrition because they're going to move through. Mm-hmm. What are some of the changes that you see in the students that come in and how they progress as they're involved in the projects?
I think the biggest thing that the students learn and help them in their career is that they work in a real environment, like a real work environment.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, they learn a lot of technical skills, but from the feedback I've been getting when they do their job interviews, it's not the technical skills that they get asked about a lot. It's the process you followed. How did you work with clients?
The tools you've used.
Yeah. You know, I have, just like 2 days ago, one person, you know, he's not even on campus. He told me one of his students wasn't recently in a job interview. And when he was talking to the client, he said he talked about how often the client changed their mind. Like, we talk to the client and we work on the project. A month later, they're like, oh, I want to change this. Let's change that requirement. And the employer they were very impressed the fact that coming out of college, you have already realized this. Like, in the industry, you have to work after years to realize that clients change their mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out of college in a job interview right out of college, and you're telling them, you know, when you discuss, you already know, or I understand that.
Yeah.
They were very impressed. And I think I was told there was a big part of their hire is the fact that they already have that experience with a client.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the other things that the App Factory students have that perhaps some students that aren't in the App Factory, I think they build a degree of confidence. They're confident in what they know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they know what they know, so to speak, mm-hmm. right? And that confidence, I think, really goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And I think the employers can see that and they can hear it and they can feel it. And it's not, what's the word I want here? It's not cockiness. Mm-hmm. It's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know this.
Mm-hmm.
And they
mm-hmm.
can see that and feel that.
I can speak to that. One of the students from the App Factory who was in a job interview and he put on his resume or his application a senior developer. So when he get to in the interviews to the VP or something at that company, he's like, you know, coming out of college and putting a senior developer on your resume, that's a long fetch. Like, you know, coming out of college, didn't have that experience.
Right.
He told me at the end of the interview, that VP told him, you're better than some of my seniors who've been with me for 5 years.
So you're providing an accurate description.
Yes.
How do you, as looking at your responsibilities, kind of one side, faculty instructing students, the other side, App Factory directors, directing students there. What are some of the differences for each of you between those two roles or those two responsibilities?
It's a good question.
Yeah. We've only got 30 minutes for the show, but I thought I'd throw that one out there.
I'll let Zaid go first on that.
You know, honestly, it's probably easier on my side because I mainly teach the software engineering class, which is a capstone project class. That's what they work on there. Mm. Capstone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for me the software engineering class. So majority of my students are in the software engineering class, and then I have the App Factory. It's almost just like running another App Factory.
Like
my class environment is almost like another App Factory. I have around 35 or 40 students mm-hmm. in the class between the two sections.
Mm-hmm.
I have 7 projects going on in my class. So I manage those 7 projects in the class, and mm-hmm. we also have the App Factory projects that we also manage. So it's almost similar environment for me. It's more of really teaching them some of the stuff in the classroom and apply it. We use the same process we use at the AF Factory, same tools. So for me, it feels a little more similar to work with the students in the classroom and in the AF Factory. But I think for Tim, it's probably slightly different.
Yeah. I usually end up probably taking on two or three or four projects and sort of overseeing it that way.
Okay.
Since I have regular teaching responsibilities, my role in the App Factory is a little bit different. I usually end up with maybe three or four projects that I'll kind of oversee.
Mm-hmm.
I think my role is probably a bit more technical, especially in the areas that I'm more familiar with. So I think so while Zaid is probably providing a very high level project manager type of role, mine is probably a little more low level,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that individual projects are using certain technologies properly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Zaid Altahat, Assistant Professor of Computer Science, and Tim Knaus, Senior Lecturer in the Computer Science Department. Zaid and Tim direct the efforts of the App Factory here at UW-Parkside, the award-winning App Factory. and that's, you know, and I say that because going on a number of tours, taking people on tours, when we get to the App Factory, it's almost like it doesn't matter whether we're bringing one of our elected officials through or we're bringing a business leader through or a community organization leader. People are very interested in what's going on in the App Factory.
Yeah.
They walk in, and maybe it's because everybody is walking around with their phones and they're using apps and thinking, I wonder how somebody developed that.
Yeah.
What about the projects that you've completed? What have been some of the ones that you'd look at and go, wow, that was really a fun project. That was a good one to work on.
Hmm. I think we have one for a local manufacturing company, and I think that's kind of a new domain for us, where now we're talking to devices that are deployed globally, literally all over the world. They have devices deployed all over the world, Canada, Middle East, Europe, Russia, you name it. And we built this app that communicates and talks to these devices and start pulling reports off of those devices.
Wow,
I think that's a big project, and you know, a lot of technical challenges at the beginning. We had excellent resources worked on it. The lead developer on it, Marshall, he got an offer before even graduating and started his job, and we're handing over now the project to a different team. But it's I think that's the project probably in the last year. That's probably the biggest project and most technically challenging project we worked on.
Right. And some of them are, from a community standpoint, I would say fairly high profile, in that the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail, the app for the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail developed here at Parkside, powered by Parkside, as the chancellor likes to say. The Kenosha Area Transit app, things that not just someone who's involved in a particular business or industry would be... Might use, and say, I would find a use for that app.
Yeah, I mean, the Kenosha Transit app. Well, it's funny that was our original app from 5 years ago. That was kind of the app that launched a lot of what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
At the time we really didn't know what we were doing, to be honest about it. we were just kind of shooting in the dark, but. That app is actually being rewritten now from the ground up, and that's one of our major things that we're going to be tackling coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 years old. I mean, it's old.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of technology, it's old,
right.
And it uses old technology, and it needs an update.
Right.
And so that's one of our things that we're going to be working on in this coming up semester.
Is that something that – sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, Zaid, but is that something that clients need to be aware of as well, is that just because you come in and say, okay, here's what I need today, doesn't mean that that's the end of it, that you are going to need to maintain, upgrade, and, you know, taking a look at what that piece of technology is going to do for your company.
Some of the clients don't realize that. We're talking to a client right now who hired a company in Illinois to build an app for them, two apps, a web application and a mobile app. And now they're talking to us because they say it's not easy to keep those relationship with some of the companies. And the thing is that you have to remember that we are very affordable, entity that to build the apps. We're very affordable compared to the commercial companies out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to us because one thing, they believe in, education, and they want to help, the students. Second reason is that they, it's going to save them some money. Some of the nonprofits or small organizations, they don't have all the funds. And usually, if you want to look at anything comparable to in price to what we do, or it's not even going to be close to what we do, a little higher than what we charge per app, is that these are very small organizations, very small companies that build these apps, and usually a startup or one or two engineers get together, hey, let's start building an app. In a year or two, you don't find them. Mm. So they tell me, they build this app for us, now we need updates, we need to make changes. They moved on in their life. They no longer have a company. We can't even get to the source code. We're talking to a client right now. He said, I can't get you the old code. We have to rewrite the whole thing.
Wow.
They don't even know where it is.
And we tell them, we are here. We're not going anywhere. This is Parkside. We've been here for a long time.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So don't worry about us going or moving on and forgetting about your project.
Yeah.
And they love that. They said, doing these things at an affordable cost.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here local. We're not going anywhere. And they understand now, they realize, it's like, hey, wait a minute, I need to maintain this long relationship with whoever is going to build this app for me. Because you're going to release it today, and the very next day you work on an update, you work on and make enhancements. You never stop working on an app. We never stop.
Yeah.
And now
the industry itself is changing on a daily basis. And, the apps that we wrote already a year ago are probably already pushing the limit of the technologies. And, Android and iOS themselves are changing so quickly.
So what's changing? What's happening?
Features are being added to the phones.
Oh,
new features are being added to the operating systems that run the phones.
Okay.
In the case of Apple, they actually changed the language itself. We used to write the apps.
Android's doing that right now.
From something like they just released 2 years ago. Now they say it's no longer supported. Literally, we have to rewrite a lot of components using the new syntax, the new language.
Yep. Yeah.
Because the older release of that language is no longer supported.
Wow.
Yeah, we're talking 2 to 3 years.
And Google has completely switched their language from Java to Kotlin. So, all of the new apps are being developed in the new language.
Yeah.
And eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually all the old ones will probably have to be rewritten also, which just keeps us in business.
So when your phone comes up and somebody and there's the list in the app store of all of the apps that need to be updated, and you have to go through and go, yes, update, that's part of the reason why, right?
Absolutely.
That are changing.
Yep.
Where's is it possible to look into the crystal ball and say, here's where app technology is maybe headed, or what are some of the things that might be coming in the not too distant future?
Go ahead. I don't know. I feel like app development today is sort of where web development was maybe five years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sort of some of the web development has kind of teared off a little bit, And I think that'll happen eventually for apps. I mean, people still need web development done. People will always need app development done. But I don't know about you, Zay, but I kind of think that, IoT is sort of the way that things are probably going to head in the future.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. One is that we're no longer going to see more of the simple apps, right? These simple apps do one or two things for me. Those things, I think, those kind of apps are going to start disappearing. And we're going to have more and more of these more sophisticated apps that does a lot of things for us and uses a lot of new technologies like AI, using augmented reality,
yep.
using VR, virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with the phones, I agree with Tim. It's since iPhone, you know, first one released over 10, 11 years ago, we haven't really seen a big breakthrough in terms of, you know, technology, so to speak. Like, mm. what is the biggest thing since the first iPhone was released? Not much, really. It's just mm-hmm. in enhancements. Enhancements doesn't really drive the market, right? You need something that's gonna break the flow of the things that's been going on the last few years. And for that, you probably for the phones, I think it has to be something probably with IoT, which is the Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. So these are the sensors that's deployed everywhere. The small devices
that are Internet enabled.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Augmented reality,
yep.
AI. So the phones have to integrate more and more of these things. The focus has been on really the social media. Like the mm-hmm. phone's been focusing a lot like on social media, supporting social media. Like the latest iPhone with the camera, the only use I see for it is social media, like on Snapchat, and people yeah. use it there.
Yeah.
But does it have more, you know, practical uses? Not yet. So I think that's where we have to have that leap for people to start buying more and more phones and building those kind of apps.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you see the advertisements for new phones, it seems like the majority of time,
It's
camera upgrade.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There, which, you know, that looks pretty slick. I mean, the current series that's running the iPhone 11 with the takeoff on Braveheart, right?
Sure.
With the, you know, it's like, and they mm-hmm. are
with
very,
the snowball fight.
Yeah, with the snowball fight.
That's a
yeah.
great commercial.
Yeah, and you've got the quality of yeah. what you can do
yeah.
with the video and
right.
with the photography.
But
on
you
the
know,
phone
Zay, Zay's right though. I mean. Really, nothing has really changed, though.
Not much, yeah.
Not much.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. you know, feature yeah. upgrades, yeah, but, you know, what's coming down the line? What's the next big
thing?
It's
going to disrupt the industry mm-hmm. and come
That's
up.
That's right.
Which I think, based on what I read and you know, in the blogs and the news and the acquisitions right. that, like, Google have done the last couple of years, tell you that the focus is really on AR, on AR augmented reality. So they want the phone really... It's not just it's no longer just a display where you look at things. It's really bringing you into the device and live this 3D
wow.
world. Yeah.
Wow. We've been talking with Tim Knaus, senior lecturer in the computer science department, Zayd Altahad, assistant professor of computer science. We've been talking about the App Factory. From each of you, your perspectives, you get a chance to deal with students on a few different levels. What's the most fun thing about being Tim or being Zayd?
I think the Wednesday meetings are awesome because that's when all the kids are there, right?
For an App Factory
meeting. We
yeah.
meet on Wednesdays at noon, and everybody's usually there, and it's just complete chaos.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's what I like hanging with the students, and so. For me, that's the part of the App Factory that I like the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yesterday I was at a lunch. I met two persons who live in Kenosha. We graduated from the same university in Illinois. We said, hey, let's get together to lunch. You know, one of them teaches at another university. One of them is a lawyer. And the lawyer asked my colleague, my friend, is like, "What? Don't you get bored teaching, you know, the same thing over and over?" He said, you know, honestly, it's not the material, it's not the content that really, you know, makes our day. It's the students that we meet every year. You meet a new group of students.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he said, that's where the fun is. And I honestly, that's like in my mind, is like, I remember the first year I came to Parkside in 2016, and it was like I was so excited. The joy was like unbelievable, like working with the students, seeing the students learn and move on. I feel like I'm connected with those students, I'm part of their success, I'm part of their life. This is a great rewarding thing for me. Honestly, working with the students, I love working with the students. Hanging out with the students,
yep.
the App Factory,
yep.
it's completely informal between us. They just, you know, call me Zaid. I told him first day, like, don't call me professor. Mm-hmm. You know, we're friends here. I'm not used to this, so let's just go with that. And we just connect with the students, hanging out with the students. We sit at the App Factory. We chat for like hours.
We talk
about things.
It is, and it's not always technical, but it's mostly technical. It's mostly geek talk, you know, and that's our jam.
Yeah.
That's what we did. Yeah. We dig that thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, for if somebody's listening, we hope someone's listening, and you know, there's at least 7 people out there listening, I think. For those listening who may want to connect with the App Factory because they have an idea or they have a challenge, how do they do that?
Well, we have a web page, appfactoryuwp.com. They can just look us up, App Factory UWP. You'll find the website. There's a form. They can submit a form. Our emails are there. Me and Tim's email are on the website. They can shoot us an email.
Yep.
We can set up a meeting, a phone call.
That's typical of how it works.
Yeah.
Somebody will contact us usually via email or via the website, and then we usually will sit down with them and talk. We want to face to face. You know, I mean, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be an app. It could be really any software.
Sure.
Question they have in mind they want to ask about and talk about.
Absolutely.
We love these discussions. Yeah.
You bet.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with Zaid Altahat, Assistant Professor of Computer Science, and Tim Knaus, Senior Lecturer in the Computer Science Department. Zaid and Tim, thank you for time to be with
thank
us
you.
On Parkside
thank
today.
Thank you for hosting us.
To hear past editions of Parkside Today, visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening.